We've been looking at the book of Romans, specifically in chapter 12 of Romans. This is Paul's letter to the Romans. And we saw that we started this off by looking at Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. And Romans 12, 2 reminds us that we do not, and we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, I don't conform, we're not supposed to conform, you're not supposed to conform to the world. We don't yield to the things and the standards of the world. We don't conform to the things of the world, but rather, we conform, we are transformed, we daily make the effort to change our minds and transform our minds away from the nature of the world to the nature of Jesus Christ that is in us. This is what our daily goal is. And then Paul goes on in Romans chapter 12 in verses 9 through 18 to tell us the qualities or the behaviors that are expected of us as believers in Jesus Christ. The behavior that we are supposed to demonstrate. And we've read through verses 9, 10, 11, 12. And let me see, I think yesterday we looked at verses number 13 and yesterday at number 14. So we're going to pick it up and look at number 15. Yesterday we saw that bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Now the next thing that we see Paul saying, this is the way that we are to behave as believers in Jesus Christ. This is what our behavior is supposed to be. And again, remember, these things sound like it's impossible for us to do on a consistent basis. Maybe we can once in a while achieve that, but boy, to maintain that kind of behavior on a consistent basis, I just don't know if that's possible. Well, in the flesh, in your own abilities, it is impossible. But we have the nature of Christ in us. And we have the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God Himself dwelling within us. And so we have the ability in Him to actually live up to these standards. We can. Through Him, we can. So verse number 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Verse 16 goes on to say, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So Paul is saying that part of the nature that we're supposed to have, part of the behavior that we're supposed to demonstrate, because we have the nature of Christ in us, part of our nature should be that we rejoice with others. We rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and we weep with those who weep. In other words, we're supposed to have our hearts and our minds not just focused on ourselves. Again, this is what's contrary to the world itself. See, in the world and in our natural flesh, we're only concerned about the things that pertain to us. We're only concerned about how things affect us. Now, we might give lip service, and maybe on occasion we think about others, but as a rule, we're not really taught to place others in a position of priority over ourselves. Instead, we make ourselves the priority. And we're concerned not first with others, we're concerned about ourselves first and how things affect us. When according to Paul, and we read this a few verses ago, according to Paul, we're supposed to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and in honor. We're supposed to honor others. And in honor, giving preference to one another. So in other words, Paul's already told us that we're supposed to consider others better than ourselves. We're supposed to give preference not to ourselves, but to others. We don't think about ourselves first, and we don't take things for ourselves first. And if there's an opportunity for something to be gained, that we reach out and take it before someone else does, that's contrary to the nature of Christ that's in us. And it's contrary to the behavior that Paul is telling us that we're supposed to have as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. So he's already told us we're supposed to consider others better than ourselves. Well, this verse number 15, is a continuation of that whole thought process, or that awareness of others and that sensitivity and that heart for others before self. You see, that's the exact example that Jesus gave for us. Jesus is God. Jesus has been from the beginning. From before the beginning was Jesus. Jesus is part of that triune nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's God, one God, but in three persons. Jesus has been, He is God. And God, who created us, so if God created us, who's the greater? and who's the lesser? Self-evident. God is greater. We are the lesser. We're the creation. And yet God so loved us that when we made the wrong choices, when Adam made that first choice to sin and brought sin into this world, and since that time, the world has been in a fallen state, but God so loved man, his creation, he so loved you. He thought not of himself first, but he thought of you. He thought of his creation, he thought of men. And he lowered himself to become flesh, to become a man. That Jesus the Son became a man like you and I. Actually became a man, became flesh like you and I. Talk about being lowered. The creator becomes the creation. See, this is the example that Jesus set for us. He became, lowered himself, and became flesh. He lowered himself and lived in this world that he created, and he created with purity to be pure. But man corrupted this world he created and made all flesh corrupt, and yet Jesus came into this world. Now, he was not corrupt, but he came into this world and he became flesh and he lived in this corrupt world as a man, just like you and I. Talk about being lowered. The one who created, the one who is pure, lowered himself, became this flesh, and lived in this fallen, corrupt world. Now, he was never corrupt, but he lived and dwelled in this corrupt world as righteousness. And he did this for our sake. You want to talk about a sacrifice? You want to talk about thinking of others before self? That is the example. God becoming man, lowering himself. And then it's not just a matter of lowering himself and living as a man. That's beyond what any man would have even thought to do or comprehend. That's beyond. Staggering. And yet it doesn't stop there. Jesus, who lowered himself as God to become flesh and live in this fallen world, then decided as a man to offer himself as a sacrifice for every person, for every man, woman, and child in creation. He offered himself. Romans tells us the wages of sin is death. So there is one conclusion for sin. And if you say you've never sinned, the Bible says you're a liar. But even if you would deceive yourself and say that, well, I've never sinned, so I'm not worthy of death. Well, you were born into a sinful world. And because you were born into a sinful world, you were born into a world with sin. You have the nature of sin. You're born into the world which has the nature of sin, and so you're born with that sin. So even if you could have lived a perfect life, which you couldn't, you would still be subject to death. The wages of sin is death. And yet Jesus lowered himself, became a man, lived here, and then if that wasn't enough of a sacrifice, he then took every single human being's sin upon himself. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's a price to pay for sin. Every one of us has fallen short and sinned. That's what the Bible tells us. And so what every single human being deserves is death. That's what we deserve. That is our punishment because of sin. But Jesus took that sin upon himself. And Jesus paid the price. He took the punishment on the cross. He bared every one of our sins, dying. Now that is an example of sacrifice, not thinking of self. He's God. He's nothing. You know, if you or I would have been God, and the first time that man turned and rejected us, we'd be wiped. They're gone. They're wiped out. They're destroyed. Not putting up with that. But that's the difference between the heart of man and the heart of God. And even though we might say it's impossible for us to think and live lives of sacrifice for others, this is what God's telling us in Romans chapter 12, now for the second time, that we're supposed to do. Consider others better than ourselves. And here, we are to have that heart for others. So, we don't think about ourselves. We rejoice when others rejoice, and we weep when others weep. Jesus demonstrated to us the principle of sacrificing and putting others first. because he did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for all men. This is the example that we're supposed to follow. And part of that is, I don't think of myself. That my heart is, first of all, tender towards others. So that I have empathy and compassion for others. So that when I see somebody who is rejoicing, my heart cannot help but rejoice with them. When I see somebody else celebrating, my heart, because I empathize with them, cannot help but rejoice with them. Now, the flesh would say, when you see somebody else rejoicing, the flesh says, well, wait a minute. Well, that's not fair. They're rejoicing because something good happened. I want something good to happen to me. I want to be able to rejoice myself. I want to have something good happen to them. I want something good to happen to me. That's what the flesh says. But the Spirit, the nature of Christ that is in us, says, I share your joy. If you are joyous, if you've received a blessing, if you have walked in deliverance, if you've walked in healing, I rejoice with you. Listen, if you're battling and standing in faith to see healing in your body, and you're standing in faith and you're just not seeing it yet, but you see someone else that is also sick and they get healed, you know, sometimes the flesh would say, well, that's not fair because I haven't got mine yet. But the heart of Jesus in us and the nature of Jesus in us says that when you see someone else rejoicing, rejoice with them. You share that joy with them. You know what? When you have that same nature of Christ and you demonstrate it and you choose to operate and live in that nature of Christ and not the nature of the flesh, guess what? It makes it easier then for you to receive yours as well. But it's not because of that we rejoice. We are just to have that heart of Jesus Christ. He rejoices with us. He rejoices when you rejoice. And you know what? Jesus also empathizes with you when you suffer. He weeps with us when we weep. We read in John chapter 11 that when Lazarus, his friend, was dead, now he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but when he came to Bethany and he spoke to both of Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, it says that when he talked to Mary that he actually wept. And Jesus wasn't weeping just because he was sad that Lazarus was dead. No, because he knows that in just a few moments, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. His weeping is not because Lazarus has died. The weeping that we see from Jesus is because of his empathetic heart for those who are there. He knows that what the Father has planned for man was never death. It was never God's plan for man. And that Satan is the interloper, and Satan's the one who brought all this misery, pain, and agony. And what we see is Jesus seeing the hearts of all these people who are weeping, whose hearts are broken because of the grief that they see in Martha and Mary. And Jesus is seeing that, and he is weeping with them. He's weeping because of what he sees of their broken hearts. It is the empathy of Jesus Christ. That's the heart. That's the nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus rejoices when you rejoice, and he weeps when you weep. And this is the demonstration. This is the heart that we should have for others. You see someone else today. Listen, you're going to find people in your life today. They're going to come across your path today. You're going to find people that they're rejoicing. You know, don't just walk by. Rejoice with them. Let your heart be empathetic towards them. Celebrate with them in the celebrations that they have. But also, when you see someone else who is hurt, don't just turn and walk away and think, I just don't have time for this today. I just can't deal with someone else's hurt and misery. No, Jesus hasn't said that. Jesus doesn't say that with you. Jesus has a heart of empathy and compassion for us. And this is the heart that we're supposed to have with others. Have that heart of empathy. If you see somebody else weeping, weep with them, but don't just weep with them and share. You know, when Jesus wept, he wasn't just sharing their grief and just embracing their grief. He was sharing it, but he wasn't going to stay there. He was going to show them the victory that was in him. And he showed them that victory by bringing deliverance, by taking away the source of their hurt and giving them victory instead. This is what we as believers are supposed to do. When you see somebody weeping, yes, have a heart of empathy and share their grief, share their loss, weep with them, but also lead them to a place of deliverance in Jesus Christ. Lead them to that place of victory in Jesus Christ. Share their hearts, but don't leave them there. Bring them to the place of victory. This is the heart of Jesus, and this is the nature of Christ that's in us. And this is the behavior that Paul says that we should have as believers in Jesus Christ. And this is what we can demonstrate today, not in our own strength and our own ability, but in the power and in the might of the Holy Spirit that is in us. Jesus, we thank you and praise you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for just dwelling in us, and that we have, through you, that empathy for others today, that sensitivity, and not just the heart to share their joy and their grief, but also that heart to walk them into a place of victory, that you are lifted up and glorified. In your name, Jesus. Amen.